So throughout the 8th through 10th chapters of Mark's Gospel, which we've been hearing over the course of the past few weeks, Jesus has been teaching his disciples about his vocation as Messiah, about the nature of status and power in the kingdom of God, and about welcoming the vulnerable, or the little ones, as Jesus calls them. And the disciples have consistently misunderstood Jesus. Their behavior reminds me of a saying sometimes attributed to author Catherine Aird, which goes, "If you can't be a good example, then you'll just have to be a horrible warning." Consider that today is the second time that we have heard Jesus say something along the lines of, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." The first time was after the disciples had been arguing among themselves as to which of them was the greatest, a story we heard 4 weeks ago. Jesus has to repeat himself because James and John make a request of him that shows that they didn't understand what he was trying to teach them the first time around. They ask, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." They are still thinking of status as a scarce resource for which you have to compete against others, despite Jesus teaching them that one's status in the kingdom of God is actually defined by self-giving service to others. And today's story from Mark's Gospel is the last time that Jesus teaches his disciples about how the values of the kingdom of God turn worldly values upside down. Now, the story doesn't tell us if the disciples understood Jesus or not, but from what they do later in the gospel, it is clear that they still don't get it. Judas betrays Jesus. All of the 12 abandon Jesus when he is arrested. And Peter denies Jesus 3 times to save his own skin. So the disciples definitely serve as horrible warnings. Now, unfortunately, the church has sometimes taken the horrible warning the disciples are depicted as in this part of Mark's Gospel as a good example, instead of holding up a mirror to society, showing the society how to enact the values of the kingdom of God. The church is all too often mirrored society, instead enacting what have traditionally been called worldly values. Part of this is, of course, doing what James and John do in today's story from Mark's Gospel, status-seeking. Offices like ordained ministry, being clergy, priest, or bishop, or such positions as warden, were seen as signs of status, places of privilege, rewards, that sort of thing, rather than what they were meant to be, which is vocations. As we are reminded in today's passage from the letter of James, we are called to office. It is not something that we presume to seek. That sort of thing is akin to the phenomenon of celebrity worship, which is perhaps these days stronger than it has ever been. Now, there's nothing wrong with people being famous, even if it is sometimes for admittedly trivial things. But it does raise the question of how we consider status. Consider people, after all, who were treated as considered essential workers during the pandemic lockdown. We were even saying that retail workers, previously unheralded, were essential to the functioning of society during the pandemic. And yet I wonder how much better they are now treated, even though we claim that they are essential compared to the famous hockey players and musicians of the world. And there are many other ways in which the church has mirrored society in the subordination of women. From the letters of Paul, we know that women were leaders in the early church, but it wasn't long before they were no longer allowed to serve in ordained ministry, and that has only recently been rectified. Other examples include the adoption of imperialist motives behind the modern missionary enterprise and the ongoing debate over human sexuality. Now, it's not all bad news, not for the disciples. They aren't going to be horrible warnings this whole time. Beyond the story, as we'll get to, we shall see that they do prove to be a good example. And it is interesting that Jesus says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. But it is interesting that in Mark's gospel, the gospel never applies the word serve to Jesus. The two times where it is used are once in the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, where the angels come to Jesus and serve him, and once after Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, when she serves Jesus and the disciples afterward. And those are taken to be examples of divine service. But Jesus' service in Mark's gospel takes the form of teaching, healing, welcoming the vulnerable or little ones, and most especially through his self-giving, as he says, his giving of his life as a ransom for many, particularly on the cross. And despite the misunderstanding of the disciples, Jesus is clear as to the nature of status and power in God's kingdom. Status in God's kingdom is not something that is given as a reward. It is not something that is earned. It is a gift. And it is a gift that is recognized as a result of self-giving service. It is not so among you, Jesus says. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. To return to the disciples, the original audience of Mark's gospel, and we know that the disciples, despite being depicted as horrible warnings in this part of Mark's gospel, became servant leaders after the resurrection. Many of them became martyrs as well, not only including Peter, who denied Jesus, but James, the son of Zebedee, as well. They finally got Jesus' teaching about servant leadership. And Jesus' teaching has inspired servant leadership in the church throughout the ages, which has constantly recalled the church to be faithful to its vocation to self-giving service. And this leadership has taken all different kinds and shapes, from the inspiring a renewal of monasticism led by St. Francis of Assisi, to recalling the church to advocate for justice, as in the example of Martin Luther King Jr., to recalling the church to simplicity, joy, and love in worship and life, as in the example of Brother Roger, the founder of the Teze community. And we are too are called to be servant leaders, to give ourselves in self-giving. We're called to hold up a mirror to society and reflect back to it the values of the kingdom of God, to reflect back to it what it can be at its best. And to help us to do this, we are reminded that we are called to self-giving. And we are reminded week in and week out through the gift of the Eucharist, the self-giving of Jesus, where Jesus gives himself to us in bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, the self-giving of Jesus that reminds us and invites us to give of ourselves.